Ms. Rotiaga and her counselor here, and I did ask that the grievance proceeding be held in open session. So is there a right to do so, and we will honor that request. At this point in time, the grievance arguments and presentation will take place, and Mr. Rodriguez will lead that in a moment. Once the presentation takes place, then you will obviously go back, deliberate, and discuss it amongst yourselves in closed session, and come back out, take any final action if necessary.
This time, that's right.
Yes, and maybe it has reported to.
And we all have our information. We, the Board of Trustees of the Glendale Independent School District, are meeting to consider the oral arguments in the Level 3 grievance of Cynthia Arteaga. For the record, we have a quorum with the following board members present. We have Ms. Rachel Quintana, Ms. Patsy Mendoza, Ms. Lori Searles, Mr. Sergio Coronado, Ms. Leti Gonzalez, and Mr. Adrian Medina, and myself, Armando Rodriguez. The board will allow 7 minutes for oral arguments from each party with 4 additional minutes for rebuttal. If any, for a total of 11 minutes for each side.
Good evening, President Rodriguez, members of the board. My name is Nicholas Enoch. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Lubin and Enoch, and I'm here.
I'm sorry, there's a board we need to announce. Continue with the announcement.
The board will save questions?
Yes.
Okay. The board will save questions to the end of each oral argument. And will the employee's representative please state your name, announce whether you are ready, introduce any persons who are with you, and explain the relationship to this proceeding.
Thank you again, President Rodriguez. My name is Nicholas Enoch. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Lubin and Enoch, and I'm here this evening with the pleasure of representing Cynthia Arteaga with respect to her grievance appeal before the board. Obviously, she's seated to my right, to your left. The way I'd like to do it is, and I believe you've been provided with a copy of her Level 3 file. If you turn to page 100 of that in the bottom right-hand corner.
Mr. Enoch, I don't mean to interrupt, but there is a summary that we read into the record from Ms. Carrasco. I'd like you to do that before you actually start using your time for your arguments. Is that okay?
Should I go to the administration's representative?
That's fine. I can introduce us when Ms. Carrasco is done with her presentation. She will give you a brief overall summary so that we all know what we're talking about. There's audience members here. It's quite good for them to hear, and obviously just to set the stage for what we're going to do going forward. Ms. Crosto?
Good evening, Board President Rodriguez, board members, and Ms. Brigham. Tonight we're here to talk to you about the level three grievance filed by Ms. Cynthia Arteaga. I would like to briefly summarize the grievance. Basically, the nature of the grievance that we are going to speak about tonight is due to the removal of Ms. Cynthia Arteaga from her cheerleading stipend duties by Ms. Angela Salvaggio, principal of Canutillo High School. Ms. Arteaga is requesting remedies in the following: reinstatement to the cheer coach positions, full compensation for both JV and varsity coaching positions, any and all documentation related to this matter removed from the files maintained by the school district, prohibit any reference to this matter in any employment reference or recommendations, apology letter to the parents and students for mistakenly removing Ms. Arteaga from the cheer squad duties, and positively announcing her return. Basically, factual background on this and how this resulted: on October 30th, 2012, Ms. Salvaggio, Canutillo High School principal, removed Cynthia Arteaga from her cheerleading coaching duties for failure to follow contracted services procedures and for insubordination. This information was outlined in a memo from the Salvaggio to Dr. Murphy dated October 31st, and this was provided in your packet. Dr. Murphy had forwarded this memorandum to Human Resources Division via email, and requested that Ms. Santiago's stipend be prorated for the number of days that she had performed her stipend duties. I believe this calculation resulted in an amount of $1,091 that was owed to her for the number of days that she had performed her duties. Level one grievance paperwork was received in the superintendent's office on December 3rd. The level one grievance hearing was escalated to a level two. This was presented on January 9th. Ms. Julie Chen from the TSTA submitted additional documentation of the grievance and voiced an objection to Ms. Salvaggio hearing the grievance. Therefore, we escalated that grievance. Ms. Brigham heard that grievance at a level two on January the 15th. A copy of the level two response is included in your packet. Ms. Brigham upheld the principal's decision to remove Ms. Santiago from her stipend duties based on the fact that supplemental duties are not contractual and that the employee shall hold no expectation of continuing any supplemental assignment. Ultimately, it's up to the building principal and or the program director or coordinator that has the responsibility to assign personnel to compensated stipend activities. On February 21st, 2013, level three grievance paperwork was submitted and a copy was also included in your packet. Administration's position on this is to deny the grievance, or recommendation is to deny the grievance and take no action. No action would indicate support of administration's lower level decisions. Ms. Ortega is considered a valued member of the Canadio ISD family. This action will have no impact on her teaching position, assignment, or her evaluation. And also, you were all provided an audio recording of the level two grievance with the documents that were supplied to you. Thank you.
Okay. So, will the administration member at the end of this please state your name, announce whether you are ready, introduce any person who are with you, and explain the relationship to this proceeding?
Thank you, Board President, members of the board, Ms. Brigham. Again, Steve Blanco, legal counsel for the district, and I'll be handling the district's presentation tonight. Also with me, obviously, you've heard from Ms. Carrasco, and she's read a summary of the background information. Also, I'm with the principal from Cantor High School, Ms. Salvaggio. She's prepared to answer any questions you might have as we move forward. And also, Mr. Gustavo Rivelas, our public information officer, is present as well. At this time, other than Mr. Rodriguez, starting the hearing with the final announcement regarding timing issues, then we can turn it over to Ms. Arteaga's counsel. Thank you.
Okay. This time the board will consider only the specific evidence in the record. The board understands that the oral argument presented at the hearing is not evidence, but the party's interpretation of the evidence in the record. Procedurally, the employee representative will open the oral arguments and will have 7 minutes of uninterrupted time. The administration's representative will then present oral arguments and will have the 7 minutes of interrupted time. Each representative will have 4 minutes for rebuttal arguments, if any. Members of the Board of Trustees are asked to reserve all questions or comments until all parties have concluded their oral arguments and rebuttal, so as not to interfere with the party's time allotment. At this time, and before we begin the presentation by the parties, the administration will provide a brief factual and procedure summary of the board.
We've actually presented that through Ms. Carrasco. Her summary of the events and the background information of what you need to set the grievance stage. At this time, Ms. Arteaga's counsel can proceed if it's okay with the board president.
Thank you. The board, I assume, has the level three packet that was submitted on behalf of Ms. Arteaga, and they're numbered in the bottom right-hand corner of the pages. I would make a note that the pages I'm going to refer to are pages 70 to 72, page 100, and page 74. The, on page 100, you have before you the statement of the reasons given for the termination of Ms. Arteaga. And I'd actually like her to explain to you just very briefly her response to points 1 and 2. In point 1, Ms. Arteaga, it is asserted that you failed to follow human resources guidelines and what's your response to that?
I followed all the procedures that are supposed to be taken here at Gunnville ISD. There is everything that is in point one
Well, let me point you in specifically the point that, as I see, is in the second sentence that you hired a choreographer by the name of Charles Swede, who is a registered sex offender in the state of Texas. What's your response to that?
I'm sorry. Those are false allegations. He is not a registered sex offender. Mr. Charles Swede is a nationally known choreographer that is employed by NCA, which is the National Cheerleading Association. He has the National Cheerleading Association works with high schools, elementaries, middle schools throughout the whole nation and internationally. And he had gone extensive background checks nationally and in Texas as well. When I first saw this letter that I was never given, this letter was not submitted to me. It was not presented to me. I had never seen this letter. I had never received anything in writing from Ms. Savaggio at all for anything that I had that I'm being accused of here. This is a false accusation. It's inaccurate.
And in fact, did we see documentation later in which the district realized that it was false?
I did not see that documentation till today in your office. I know that it is dated before grievance level 2. It's dated before that, but I did not see that till today in your office.
And Mr. Swede, when was the last time you were in touch with him?
Today.
And where was he when you were in touch with him?
He was at Montwood High School giving a clinic, because that's what he does. He's a choreographer that, he's a coordinator. And today, that's why he was unable to be here, is because he is conducting a week-long clinic at Montwood High School with the coaches there for a tryout.
So, this is my commentary now. As far as point one goes, the assertion that my client hired a registered sex offender in the state of Texas is demonstrably false. There's no wiggle room in that regard, and you're not going to hear anything to suggest otherwise. Now, there was an assertion based on some old news reports. Can you talk to the board about that?
Yes, there was I believe it was 2007, there was an allegation from that's posted on Fox News. There was no...
What was the allegation?
The allegation was that he was improper...
sexual relations.
With a minor, with a 16-year-old. Those were false allegations. They didn't even do an investigation. Everything was, it was really, and I don't really want to waste my time with that, but it was not anything that was ever pursued, and it was dropped completely. And the only network that has it there is the KFOX, because KVIA, everything, all the other news stations and everything else dropped it, because it was not even the allegations were false.
And in fact, the school was Socorro.
Yes, and it was in Socorro. And it in that same, if you look it up right now, if you Google it up, it says there that he has not been hired at Socorro. And Montwood High School is in Socorro District. And he's working there right now. He's been working there for years. I would never, ever put my squad, my daughters on that squad. I would never even think of not checking who I'm bringing in.
Let's move on to point two, given our limited time. You were also cited for insubordination. Can you explain to the board your feelings about insubordination, generally speaking?
You know that I have been working at Canutillo Independent School District. Well, I got recognized last year for 10 years. I'm my 11th year. I am a high school graduate. I went through school here. Community member. I live in the community. You know who I am. You know who my family is. And I always, always look for the best for representing Canutillo Independent School District. And so when I my character is to follow what I'm asked to do. So insubordination from a supervisor of mine would definitely say that that's an inaccurate accusation towards me.
I heard her beep. Can I ask for another 4 or 5 minutes?
Is that okay?
Yes.
Thank you very much. To move things along, the actual incident that you were cited for insubordination dealt with your selling pizzas and drinks at an event. Can you briefly describe for the board that?
Yes, I believe that all of you know that every year I put on a cheerleading a youth camp for the community. And I follow the rules. I follow what the procedure is. The procedure is for me to turn in a application for a fundraiser. That was done a whole month before even the event, which is, you know, more than enough time for it to get approved.
And is that page 70 of the submission?
Yes. On page 70, you'll see that's part of the packet that I turned in as for my approval. And then on the next page, you'll see that
page 71,
you'll see my application, the date of the event. You'll also see my signature, Ms. Savaggio's signature of approval, and then Ms. Aguilar's signature of approval. And then the next page, page 72, is my confirmation from Mr. Solis, David Solis, that takes care of the applications, where it states that I was approved for that fundraiser.
Now let's go back to page 70, which is your flyer.
Yes, my flyer. That's the flyer that every girl, every participant.
70.
Page 70. 70. It says 69 and 70 on the side.
The flyer or the request form?
Well, the flyer was part of my request. It was all included as a packet, sir.
So if you look at the flyer.
And the reason that we're asking you to look there is because it is stated there, a concession stand run by parent booster donations will be open during the camp and during breaks.
That's in the middle column. And
And that was submitted as part of my packet. I always make it very thorough when I submit applications to the finance department.
Now, so suffice to say, you are surprised that the principal would say that she didn't know that food was going to be served?
I am surprised, yes. It was stated there, and even when there's a six-hour camp, the kids that are participants need some kind of hydration and some kind of snack.
And on the day that you actually had the camp, did the principal attend?
Yes, the principal was there in attendance at the day of the camp. I was very happy to see her there, that she was supportive of us, and that And so I welcomed her in, and I thanked her for coming in. And she was waiting to do some other things there that she needed to do. But she did stay there quite a bit and sat in the back and watched what we were doing.
And did she tell you at any time to stop selling food and drinks?
She did not tell me at any time to stop. She did not address the parents either at the at that were there at the table. Getting donations for what was donated.
And on page 74 that I had referred the board to, we have a letter written by a parent in which they also attested that
principal
attended.
It is notarized stating that she was present there and that I did see her.
Well, we have 1 minute left, so let me conclude by saying that while the recitation that you received about what her appeal rights are, that she's an at-will employee, that's all correct, okay? What I would take exception to is the notion that it is not up to this board to somehow review those decisions. When you're faced with a patently incorrect decision, when one can look at page 100 and take a look at points 1 and 2, and you're not going to get anything that shows that number 1 is correct. In fact, I assume you're probably going to get a concession that they were wrong about number 1. And then on number 2, you're going to hear that it wasn't permitted when the authorization form that was signed off by the principal clearly indicates that food and beverages can be provided. I don't think there's anything in the law or common sense that requires the board to make an incorrect decision. And I thank you for your attention this evening.
Nothing else. From the employees representative, the administration representative may now proceed.
Thank you, Board President Reeves, members of the board, Ms. Brigham. I think I can fit this in within our initial allotted time, but if necessary, I'll let you know. If you go back to page 100, and we're talking about the number pages, you're on the bottom towards the back, I'm assuming you all have it. It's the actual letter from Ms. Silvaggio to Dr. Murphy is the reasons for the action that was taken. And they're outlined there. There are the 2 points that have already been discussed. I will say with respect to number 1, we do know that the individual that was hired is not the Charles Swede, who is a registered sex offender. I do not agree with the statement that it's false if there's not someone with that name having a registered sex offender identification, but it's not the same person. We can see to that. It's different. But that's not the problem with that issue. The problem with that issue is the failure to follow your procurement policies. And if you have, for your benefit, all employees who are hired, whether they are contracted for or not, under DBAA local, are required to go through a criminal history record check, including fingerprinting and a variety of other background information. And that's done through the human resources function. It's my understanding that the problem with this issue is that the action taken by Ms. Arteaga circumvented that process. And so we're stuck in a situation where, through miscommunication, misinformation, it was mistakenly believed that you had an individual who was a registered sex offender. I understand the issue regarding the individual that is now supposedly at Montwood. I don't know whether this Crow District has hired him. I do know that in doing the background work and reviewing what had occurred at our high school, it was determined by the public information officer that an individual with the same name, we believe to be the same person, had an issue at Socorro School District. And so the point being, had you been allowed to go through the background checking process, some of that information might have come out and a different decision might have been made by human resources than to employ this individual. So that's issue number 1. With respect to issue number 2, the problem that the campus principal has with issue number 2 is that there's a timing problem. It is true the forms were filled out and they were correctly completed, but they're ignoring the fact that on the 10th of October, a directive was given not to hold the sale. There was a problem with health department permitting and requirements. With respect to the fact that, Ms. Silvaggio happened to be there and she saw food. True, she didn't know it was being sold. She thought that the directive not to sell food would have been followed, and so that these might have been donated items. Maybe people brought them and they were giving them away, which the health department wouldn't have a problem with. But just to make it crystal clear, the issue with that is that a directive was given, do not sell food, and food was sold anyways.
With that in mind, if you go to policy DK within the local policies, supplemental contractual duties, which is what we are talking about here in this grievance, are duties which may be discontinued, at any time by either party. The district reserves to itself the right, when we have somebody on supplemental duties, like a coaching position or a cheerleading coach position, to remove those at any time. And Ms. Archiaga has no contractual right to those duties, nor does she have any right to the pay associated with those duties, unless she has been allowed to perform them. The campus principal, through DK and DBAA has the power and authority to remove individuals from those duties as assigned. That's what's been done here. Ms. Silvaggio is entitled to review the performance of an individual. Here we have two issues, one of which, I get it, there was a mistake made initially and the administration understands it, but we can't lose sight of the fact that because of the process that was used, you weren't allowed to go through your normal background checking process. The larger of the two issues, though, is issue number two, where apparently a direct order, do not sell, was violated. Ms. Silvaggio is the campus leader, and the principal is entitled to say, well, I've changed my mind. I don't believe that this individual is best suited to be our cheer coach, and that's the decision that she made. If you will go to, it is behind the blue tab, and it's a purple page. It looks like this. Exhibit 2, the level 2 response, this is from Ms. Brigham, where Ms. Brigham is outlining the level 2 response to the grievance that was filed. And she says that the remedy you're seeking to be reinstated is cheer coach at Canantio High School. Upon review of your documentation and district policy, which I've just gone over, it has been determined that I am unable to grant your request for reinstatement. As stated in DK level, non-contractual supplemental duties for which supplemental pay is received may be discontinued by either party at any time. An employee who wishes to relinquish a paid supplemental duty may do so by notifying the superintendent or designee in writing. Paid supplemental duties are not part of the district's contractual obligation to the employee, and an employee shall hold no expectation of continuing assignment to any paid supplemental duty. Ms. Brigham continues and says, ultimately, it is the building principal that has direct responsibility for hiring and continuing stipend compensated activities. These activities are at will and may be discontinued at any time. And then she goes on to quote the policy and the attachments that are there. And then to say what Ms. Carrasco said when she initiated this process, that there's not going to be any harm to Ms. Archiaga's personnel record. There's a grievance policy, and that's why we're here. I agree with her counsel that the board, obviously, is the last stopgap to make a decision as to whether or not policy has been followed. It's our position from the administration that your policies have been followed. They outline the right of the principal to make this decision. She had grounds that existed for making the decision, and so we ask that you uphold the level 2 decision and deny the relief in the grievance that was requested by Ms. Archiaga. Thank you.
Is that it? At this time, the employee's representative may now present a rebuttal.
I don't disagree with counsel's recitation of the law. I would point out, as far as point two, which he characterizes as the more important issue, I'll pose it to my client. He says that you received instruction on October 10th not to provide food and beverage.
That is inaccurate. I did not speak to Ms. Silvaggio on October 10th. I did not see her until that Saturday morning at our fundraising at our camp. That's the only time that I saw her. I did not see her on October 10th.
In fact, if you look at page 100 again, what it says is, I had also informed the Booster Club president on the preceding Wednesday, October 10th, regarding this fact. You see that?
Yes.
I mean, do you know one way or the other whether it was related to the Booster Club president not to sell food and drink?
I do not.
As far as the first point goes, can you explain to the board the concern about who was actually hired to help the choreography?
Well, Yes, I would like you to know that I did not hire Charles Sweet directly. That is not, the PEO states, and I did follow rules and policy of Fennel DISD. I always do. I'm very thorough about that. The thing that was said to me is that the choreographer had to be a vendor, an established vendor of Fennel DISD. We all know that. Okay, so what I did was NCA is offering now a home camp where a choreographer comes and does your choreography here at your campus. It's a camp, and that's what my PO stated here 207755 was, it's not submitted here, but we can go back into the record and it states there that I am contracting with NCA for your choreographer. Now, we didn't get to that because it was canceled, so I do not know if it would have been Charles. I do not know if it would have been a different choreographer. I just know that I did follow policy and I did go with a respected vendor of NCA.
So to be clear, you did not solicit Mr. Swede. The solicitation was not for him personally.
The home camp is towards is NCA, and that's what the PO states, and that's what was approved.
And you don't know, I mean, none of the paperwork, even to NCA, mentions Mr. Sweet by name as being requested.
No, none of the paperwork.
And that's all paperwork that's in the possession of the district. So presumably, if they had something specifically pointing that you were hiring Mr. Sweet, we would have seen it.
We would have seen it, and then also for my PO to have been approved, which you see here, it was approved, it had to be signed by Ms. Savaggio, and it had to be signed by finance.
As long as we have whatever time remaining, counsel pointed out that this is an at-will position and that you won't be harmed by losing it. As best you can, explain the board by that.
I understand that. I understand that it's at will. And the reason that I am here at a level three is to face each and every one of you. You know who I am. You know that my character is important to me. You know that I value working here at the ISD. And when I read this letter that stated that I had hired a sexual molester, that I had been insubordinate to my supervisor, it brought shame to me. And I feel that these statements are inaccurate and that my removal was also not really thought out removal, because I have been here, I've presented to you all, you've seen me in the community, and you've seen how the cheerleading program has progressed and how it's become part of the community. And the support has been there. It has been there from the board, it has been there from the community, it's been there from families, from the cheerleaders, and I didn't do it alone. So that's my main point and focus here, is to let you know that these were inaccurate and that my removal was not in my best interest or the best interest of the squad, because I have seen we missed out. The girls, the squad missed out. We usually do five competitions. The girls didn't do any competitions this year. And I'm really sad about that.
And with that, we'd like to thank the board in advance for their consideration of the appeal.
Thank you.
And at this time, we have the administration director,
Thank you, Board President Rodriguez, members of the board, Ms. Burden again. Just very briefly, with respect to point number two, it was not, and I didn't mean to imply a direct communication from Ms. Savaggio to Ms. Arteaga. The business agent was contacted, and the business agent, is Ms. Savaggio's understanding and belief, notified everybody that you have to stop those types of sales. And nevertheless, that sale on that day went forward. Ms. Savaggio is here and prepared to answer questions if you have them of her. It is my understanding, based on information provided by her, that with respect to that particular sale, Ms. Arteaga sent a text message indicating that she believed that it would not be a problem because the health department doesn't conduct inspections on Saturday. We know that that's not true. That was a major event, and it is the reason, one of the reasons, why Ms. Arteaga made the decision that she made to remove her from her duties. Again, I just call your attention to the fact that it is within policy, and it is within the campus principal's authority to make this decision regarding a supplemental duty that has been made, and we'd ask that it be upheld. It's up to your discretion to make a determination of what you want to do ultimately, but we ask that you leave a level two decision in place. Thank you.
Yeah. This time I'll ask if any of my colleagues have any questions for the parties of the grievance, or their opinions. Can you clarify some questions? Mr. Cornell?
I do. I'd like for administration to clarify whether, in fact, which directive was given by whom, at what time, and whether it was done in writing to Ms. Arteaga or not.
My understanding is the health department came through and stopped all selling of foods. So Patsy said he said us a business agent contacted the sponsors. I really don't know if it was through email or she talked to them individually, but she told them to stop sales. When I went that Saturday, it was actually to meet you all. We were discussing the bond issue, the gym and all of that. And I went in and checked on it. And as I was going in, one of the parents, I don't want to mention her name right now. I can if you like. She showed me a text message. And she said, Ms. Salaggio, is this true? And the text message was from Ms. Arteaga. And it said, the principal said, we can sell today. The health department doesn't usually come around on Saturdays. So the parent asked me, did you authorize this? And I said, no. And at that time, I was ready to approach Ms. Arteaga about it. And the parent said, no, she'll get upset. We just wanted to know. When I went inside, Ms. Arteaga came over and graciously said hello to me and all of that. And I mentioned something like, you're not selling today. Oh, no, the health department said we couldn't. I said, no, so we can't sell today? No. I mean, this is a conversation that took place, though briefly. And then I found out they made, in excess of $200, maybe $235, $240. So I called her in and had a verbal meeting with her at that point, with Ms. Seti said is present. And I was upset because it would have been a big fine for us had the health department come by. And the text message, I had never talked to her about it. I had never given permission. That parent, I believe, still has that text message in case we needed it. Unfortunately, she's out of town tonight, so she wasn't able to be here. But at that point in time, I consulted with my then superintendent, explained to him the situation, and decided that in the best interest of the students and of the school, that we needed to remove her because that did put the school at tremendous risk for a big fine.
I guess, Mr. Pernaro, was that?
I still have a few other questions.
Because that was one of my clarifying questions. Were you done with that clarifying question? Because I don't know if it was addressed. The clarifying question is, my understanding was that you had given a directive to Ms. Arteaga to not sell that day.
No, well, that day she approached me and mentioned the health department and sales, and I said, no, we can't sell. And so she said, okay. So when I saw the pizzas there or whatever, there's parents there, a lot of times they pitch in.
The tent that was presented by administration.
That was that Saturday morning. And it was just a discussion between the two of us.
Okay. Go ahead, Mr.
I think Mr. Rodriguez's question was, did you on the 10th, not on the Saturday of the event happened, on the 10th, did you give a directive to Ms. Arteaga not to sell?
No, as I said, I believe what had happened is Ms. Seti Sedos is the one who advised all sponsors to stop sales. Okay. Until the health department had come through and said everything was okay.
How was that directive done?
I'm not sure, Mr. Cardinale. I don't know if she sent an email or she spoke to them individually. That process I was not a part of.
Okay, and why is that not included in our information, administration?
All the documents were provided by the administration with respect to Ms. Arteaga's grievance were gathered and included within the information that you have. You are correct. There is not an email or a piece of paper with that directive included on that. We do not know how that directive was issued.
All right.
Can you please clarify your understanding of the directive?
It is exactly what Ms. Silvajev just recited. That's the only information that I have regarding that directive.
Okay. Sorry, Mr. Pointer.
I do have a clarifying question for Ms. Akdamit's counsel.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. I just had the same concern. So.
The issue with respect to that I want to clarify is how was the individual that was going to be hired through NCA, how was that going to be known to the district then? That's my question. I understand you didn't know who it was, but how were we to know who so we could check?
Because, like I said, NCA is a vendor, and when you go to a camp that you know that we go every summer we go to a camp, and they send different. It's a company. That's what they do.
I understand that, but every company is going to have individuals coming to our district.
Yes,
Can't just hire the company and say you can bring whoever.
No, sir. But in that contract, it states that all of the work, all the employees of the company have undergone background checks.
By whom?
By the National Cheerleading Association. They cannot, it's just like, it's an entity just like
but
us.
But how are we going to, I mean, that's well, not something that we can, the district can pawn off on somebody else. We have to do our own checking.
Right, I agree with what you're saying. The procedure that had been done prior, every year that I've been coaching in prior, varsity, NCA, any vendor that is legitimate with the Canutillo ISD is who you hire. I did not know that you I needed to do extra something. It has always been like that for the 4 years that I've been running the program.
Okay. If I may add an additional thought on that, and I guess I don't know how you do it for all positions, but when you hire an entity like this, mm-hmm. You'd be unique if you did background checks on everybody that comes into the school through a contractor to do any sort of work that could potentially come into contact.
But we ask those specific questions of every individual that comes in, that even the contractor's employees, we ask those specific questions when they are hired or through the bid process.
Mm-hmm. Like through maintenance and like whoever comes in works
yes.
on okay.
construction.
See, and like I tell you, that has never been, had it been addressed to me, and you know, that's just the kind of person that I am. What I thoroughly do when I submit paperwork, when I'm asked of something, you know that when I've come up and I've asked the board, I have my paperwork there. And if something else is needed, like with the waiver that we asked for the summer camp, that was turned in as well. Because you know that's the that's how I run my program. So you know, had that been addressed to me, by all means, I would have done.
I have a further question on clarifying whether it be to Ms. Silvajo or I think Ms. Silvajo, come up real quick. I want to stick on Charles Sweet a little bit because access to our kids are obviously something of concern. How did you learn of the name Charles Sweet? How did this name come into play? Because we talk about the entity. How did the name come into play?
Actually, some parents came to me concerned because they had done some research on their own. They said that this gentleman had been on the campus before. They had very grave concerns because they felt he had committed some kind of an offense with young girls, with a young girl. And so as parents of young girls, they were very concerned, and they asked me to look into it. So that's how I discovered the name.
But I guess because it's an entity, and they could have sent anybody. How did we know that Charles Sweet was going to be sent here?
Well, Ms. Arteaga had made it clear that that's who she wanted to come and work with the girls. He had come here the last few years that she had been here, and that's who she wanted again this year.
Chair, go ahead. The other question also along those lines that I have with respect to the application for the sales, is that the application that you use for event, including for sales, for fundraisers, or is it a separate one?
No, well, the purchase order for Charles Sweetwood would be on a different...
I'm talking now about the sales at the concession order.
Yes, it's a form that, it's the campus activity application that all sponsors fill out if they're going to sell.
Okay.
And again, it was approved prior to the health department coming out and stopping sales.
And when did the health department give this directive to us?
I don't have the exact date on that, but it was after one of the football games, they came through and just put a stop on everything. It was right around this time, early October. You know, it was around there, Mr. Rodriguez. So.
All right.
Yeah, they could sell anything that was prepackaged, but anything like pizza or whatever, they could not.
That's all I have, Mr. Chair.
Anybody, Mr. Lindina?
Ms. Gaskell, can you point to? I know that most vendors, even ourselves, we have to fill out documentation. Considering Charles, in reference to Charles Sweet, whether he was contracted through NCA, or by himself, he would have been required to fill out the forms. Is that correct?
Well, basically what happens is that when a teacher or a department contract with a company, as Ms. Argana said, maybe NCA is a vendor of the district, but when you also create your purchase order, and they're coming in for staff development, they're coming in for training, they also have to fill out a contracted services agreement. And when they do that, that's what comes to HR, the contracted services. And in there, what we do, or what HR does for all contracted services, is that we identify if the individual coming into the district is going to be in contact with students. If they're not, then I can go ahead and sign off and say, let's proceed and approve the contract. If they are in contact with students, then we do our own background check. And we ask the agencies or the companies or the vendors to identify those folks that are gonna be on our campuses working with the children directly. And so we usually know who's coming onto our campus.
Do we have that in this packet? What was actually filled out in Ms. Hunt?
It was not filled out. There was no paperwork that came to my office to do that.
There was no paperwork filled out.
Not really sure who to ask this, but I believe that I just heard the man, Mr. Sweet, has been coming here for multiple years. This isn't his first time on the playground. Yeah. So what happened on the district side these other years? Why did this just become an issue?
Because I think that the prior years, it was submitted the same way. I know that Ms. Savaggio is new to the district. I know that, you know, maybe that has, you know, that's different. I did not have any complaints from any parents. They were open sessions, clinics. I was there present every single time.
Parents sign off?
Parents actually paid him, yes. Parents paid him, and that was like a contract on them.
Ms. Searles, I can address your point, why wasn't the contracted services process used? Because it wasn't submitted for hiring the individual or the company in that manner. And I'm not being overly critical of Ms. Arteaga. It's a common, unfortunately, common practice at times for sporting event groups to use booster clubs or to have parents contract for services on their own.
thereby circumventing the HR process, and we believe that is what was done.
I understand.
With respect to this individual.
It was Booster Club.
He was hired without going through the formal contracting services with the district.
Okay, I understand. Thank you.
Ms. Wimbles.
I have two questions, Ms. Abdera. Number one, how many years have you been cheerleading sponsor at the high school?
I started in the fall semester, the spring semester, half semester in 2009.
Okay, and can you tell me what your stipend was for JV and varsity?
It was $1,000 at that time. It was $1,500, I believe.
Here lately.
And then right now, this year, it was addressed by the board to $4,000 this year for varsity. Not they, how they have it on writing is that is the head coach and the assistant coach. They don't have it by JV and varsity.
And so
I would take I those 4 years I've taken. I was alone. The first one.
Just so we're specific in the record, the current varsity cheerleader sponsor amount is $4,000, and the assistant or JV varsity cheerleader sponsor is $2,000.
Any other clarifying questions?
No.
Yeah.
Ms. Arquette?
Yes.
In point number two of his subordination, at the end it says that you apologize.
Yes, sir.
Would you apologize?
I apologize for miscommunication because I did not want to I did not want to create any problems with Ms. Savaggio, being that she was new to the district, being that that I wanted to get to know her. I wanted to get a chance to continue, you know. She did tell me that, Dave, I have to call you back into this office is to terminate your position. And the second time that I walked in, she told me close the door behind you. And I told you that if I needed to call you back into my office, it was to terminate you. And that's exactly what she did.
So you didn't apologize for not following her orders?
No, sir. I apologize for the miscommunication. I apologize. I told her the text message. I said a text message can be altered. If I did text message her, it was to tell her that we had approval. We did have approval of her. That was my understanding, that I had approval of her with her signature.
I need to need to Ms. Savaggio. Last question. I apologize to
get no problem.
Back up and down here. In respect to understanding that she didn't follow human resources guidelines, it was soon found out that it was incorrect, that Charles Smith was not assessed, as we discovered, and the insubordination itself, miscommunication. If something is as severe as being fined by the health department in the city of El Paso, or is it county of El Paso?
City.
Wouldn't it make sense to document this? Because it would cost us some fines, number one, to document in some fashion other than to let everybody know. I think that's the question I have. Why did you not document the communication that we were shut down for food services?
Well, I didn't personally communicate it. As I said, the business agent, because the health department was working through the business agent.
Okay.
Primarily. And so she took care of it from there.
So the business agent was
responsible.
It was a very real responsibility. And following up with that, why take the action of just removing her?
You know, the minute I walked into KNTU High School, there was a group of parents who were very concerned with the cheerleading program at KNTU High School. I listened to them, conducted a meeting at the beginning of the year with finance, with the parents, with Ms. Arteaga. They were concerned that things, policy was not always followed, especially the Booster Club members. They were concerned that they were told how to spend the money. And they brought up Charles Sweet at that time, okay, So, you know, I said I tried to work things out in that way. Things weren't improving between the parents and Ms. Arteaga, especially, again, the Booster Club parents. When I found out that Charles Swede was again going to be called in, I told her that day that we met about the insubordination. I said, do not have this man here. For whatever reason, there's speculation surrounding him, and it's probably best not to use him. I found out later that she was still going to use him. It seemed that everything that I asked her to do was not being followed. And so I had that issue. I had parents telling me nothing is changing. And it just, what was happening is the girls were getting in the middle of it. You know, cheerleading all of a sudden wasn't as much fun. And they didn't know which way to turn. So I made a decision in the best interest of the girls. Since then, we have two sponsors. The girls, for the most part, are happy, and things have run smoothly. It was not an easy decision to make. I have nothing personal against Ms. Arteaga at all. When I first went into the high school, she's one of the first people I met. She's a beautiful lady. Her skills with cheerleading, they're phenomenal. But there's more to coaching than just having the skill. It's following policy correctly. It's making sure the girls are protected. It's that communication with the parents. It's being able to work with all parents. And so I came to a decision that was difficult, but I stand behind it. I feel that it was necessary.
Clarifying question.
Yes, sir.
Was there, you said there was issues before, was there any documentation previously?
From last year, no. There was none.
Since you have gotten...
Since I got there, well, there's documentation that meeting took place with Martha Aguirre and David Solis from finance. They came to the campus. It was about a 2 to 3 hour meeting right at the beginning of the year.
I'm talking about the documentation within Ms. Arteaga. Was there any documentation from when you started to this letter?
Okay, the first meeting after the sales happened, I had Patsy Setti-Sedis there. It was a verbal meeting. She took notes. I'm sure she has those notes. And I did tell Ms. Arteaga, you know, I'm going to have Ms. Setti-Sedis here to take notes. And then from there, the Charles Swede incident happened. I mean, it all happened very quickly. So there wasn't a lot of documentation.
Okay, thank you. I'll ask you the same question as well. Was there any documentation provided to you?
No, sir. No documentation whatsoever on any of these. Like I tell you, I never even received this letter. I wanted to clarify, but I wanted to go back to Mr. Medina's question on the health department. I, too, after reading this, I thought, okay, well, there has to be some kind of documentation. So I went online to check the Department of Health that was supposedly had seized all sales here at Canopillo High School. And I spoke to Santiago Varela, and he, you know, there's a public list that states there what establishments have been shut down. And he assured me that Canopillo High School or Canopillo District had not been shut down for any concessions. Now, that Friday, concessions were open at the high school, October the 12th, and then that following Friday at our home game at Del Valle, all concession stands were open. So what my question is it just that day of October 13th, the cheerleading function that we were shut down? So that was one of the things that I wanted to mention.
And in response to that question, actually, if you look at page 102 of the submission, yes, you'll see the information that my predecessor specifically requested. So we can only assume that if such documentation existed, it would have been provided to us and provided to you.
One last question, Ms. Coronado, and then Rick. Ms. Coronado, you want to?
I'm with my boss over there.
My question is, and I don't see it here, the purchase order, but actually was.
That's it.
But what was in the description of the purchase order?
I believe it was just NCA contracted services.
Is there a copy provided to them?
I can tell you, we have a copy of it. I'm not sure that it is in any of the materials you have, but we have it. And I think the interim superintendent's...
I'd love to see a copy of that, if possible. Is there a way that we can get a copy of that?
Yeah.
It just states NCA choreographing camp for 20 cheerleaders, A65.00.2198.75.001.3.00, requested by Cindy Arteaga. 20 cheerleaders attending the NCA choreography camp at CHS on November 7th, 8th, and 11th. Price includes a $500 discount for summer camp attendance. It was a $2,000 charge, and we got and when it was canceled by Ms. Salvaggio, we got a $1,000 cancellation fee. And I have that copy as well.
Can you make a copy of that, please?
And then, Mr. Cornell, are you done with that?
And I was just wondering if purchase orders from the Board of Finance, do they have questions?
Administration.
Or we have to. The purchase order and the contracted services agreement should be turned in, I guess, simultaneously, and then finance will route the contracted services agreement to HR.
Mr. Cornell,
I have a clarifying question for Ms. Abdiaga. I don't recall whether or not you stated or whether or not you had a conversation with Ms. Salvaggio the day of the event.
Yes.
Did she tell you not to sell?
No, sir, she did not. My conversation with her was that in prior years, the administrator that was there would allow us to have for the girls that were participants in the camp, and that camp I had, I think, over 80 participants, that they were allowed to come back on that Friday night game, the big Vidmaya game, and cheer with us on this.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking specifically about the health department issue that you couldn't sell.
No.
Was there a text that you made, forwarded to one of the parents?
Like I said, that was, and I'm telling you that's the reason that I said it was a miscommunication, was because the text, I'm sure that I said, we have been approved, the principal has approved this fundraiser, because we have.
All right.
That's all I have, Mr. Chair.
If there's no more clarifying questions, then the board will confer with legal counsel in accordance with section 551.071 of the Texas Government Code, and no final action decision or vote with regard to this matter will be made except upon reconvening an open session. The board is now recessed into closed session, and then can we let, it's 8:36.
Will you let her know?
Just put it 8:36.
Wait a second. Let me ask council. Administration's I think it's just the part of the decision. Do you get what I'm saying? That's what I said. Steve, does it make a closed session like this because she's part of the administration?
You don't know what? No.
Yeah, you don't.
Yeah, you don't.
No.
Sorry.
That's why I don't know.
Okay, then you guys need to look at that. Okay, then you're going to go in?
No.
No, they have all this stuff in the record.
No. What is it?
See this? I'm just
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure.